I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection, live from Baghdad. All across this city, people depend on electrical generators like this one to make it through their day. It wasn't always this way. Back in the days of Saddam Hussein, the electrical system worked. A man by the name of Mohammed Serwan knows this all too well. He was considered the top troubleshooter for Baghdad substations. In fact, he was so good, he was also the man who made sure that the power flowed smoothly to all the presidential palaces. You'd think that such a high-profile position would have brought all the perks available under the past regime, but real power, at that time, was only given to those who had the right connections. Mohammed Serwan is Kurdish and wasn't a member of the Ba'ath Party.
Only they were giving me only the technical problems. Go, Mohammed, and solve this problem. Daily, I spend my time since early morning up to 9 p.m., going to that substation, this substation, that power station to solve problems. But they never treat me as one of the... they never give me, let's say, bonuses like them. No cars, no lands.
No apartments, no help
nothing.
With the children's education.
No, never.
Did they want you to join the Ba'ath Party?
Yeah, they asked me many times. I refused.
What did they say?
They said, please, you have to join us. Please, you are in that position. Please, please, please. Why you are not interested with our party? So why you are running far away from us? Always, I apologize to them in a nice way because I tell them, I'm a Kurdish. Please, don't put me in that critical position.
Why didn't you join the Ba'ath Party?
Really, I hate the Ba'ath Party since a long time because this party is not a party for qualified people. These people, they didn't respect themselves. If somebody respects himself, why he has to join a party which is negative? Negative in everything, in behavior, mentality, in doing, all the negative things in Iraq now because of that regime, which is that regime built on Ba'ath Party. So these people now, they are troublemakers. They are not... I mean, their mentality is built on just to make troublemaker for our new Iraq. So we are facing of that. We think now it's a matter of time that everything will be solved, but it needs hard work.
And is this in every neighborhood in Baghdad, on your street, in your neighborhood? Do you know people who are former Ba'athists who are still in the neighborhoods?
Yeah, we have. Each neighborhood, each street, there's some villas which we know that the owners of these villas or the people who are living there, they are before they were part of Ba'ath Party. Now these people somehow, let's say, for example, in my area, we know that these people now, they are sitting at home, they don't want to do anything, and they are shying from themselves because they cannot walk in the street and say, like before. Before they were moving and saying and talking and shouting because they were a member. Now, because these people, they are part of nothing.
While Ba'ath Party people may now be part of nothing, they remain a part of Iraq's power base. After all, they still have some strength. They have money. But now there's serious competition. There's Hezbollah and the Islamic Supreme Council. There is the KDP and the PUK and the INC and the Iraqi Islamic Party and the Iraqi National Court and the Islamic Action Party. That's not to mention the mosques and the tribal leaders. Most of these are now guarded by men with guns, and all of them are waiting for their chance to take some power. Today we're looking ahead at how this new hunger for power can be controlled while the coalition and the Iraqi Governing Council go through the slow process of trying to design a constitution, a federation, and elections. Can it work? Can a political system literally be designed from the bottom up? Will the people accept it if they see it coming from Americans who ride in helicopters and armored convoys? And can all the would-be Iraqi politicians be persuaded to wait? Our number's 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And joining us on today's program, Dr. Saeb Al-Ghalani. He runs the City of Medicine Hospital Complex in Iraq. He is also a senior member of Baghdad's City Council. It's called the Advisory Council, and often referred to in slang as the City Council. Doctor, it's a delight to have you here with us.
Thank you. Me too.
The last time I was here in Iraq, I looked at the big metal letters on the side of your hospital, and it said Saddam, yeah. City of Medicine Hospital.
Yeah.
You took that down.
It was difficult.
Was it difficult?
It's too difficult, because many of these cars that allow us to reach that stage were looted. And then lastly, we called some firefighting people to get it down.
They brought their fire trucks and used the ladders to take the ladders.
And his name, once it dropped down, it dropped the name of the city also with it down.
So now it's just Medicine.
Bonnie.
Well, at least people know what it is. You were listening, as I was, to Mohammed's anger at the place of the Ba'ath Party people in Iraq today. Yeah. Do you share that same anger about what they did to the country?
Yeah, in a way or another, yeah. I myself didn't become one day a member of Ba'ath Party. I might have another philosophy. I was thinking that is, as far as it is only one party, one president, one man, no need to join it. You will make nothing. So this was my attitude. And most of the people also. But most of them who join it because they feel that there's some privilege behind it. They can join postgraduate study, they can have better jobs, they can have better promotion, especially the higher ranks. It is only restricted for those high member in Ba'ath Party. I mean, you can never be, for example, a general director or a deputy minister or minister, something like that, unless you are sharing this.
Now, your hospital complex is, I understand it, the largest in the Middle East.
Yeah.
How many employees?
Nearly 6,000 and 3,000 bed.
And when it came time for de-bathification, did you lose a lot of talented people from the hospital?
Not that much.
Is that because doctors didn't feel under pressure to be a part of the Ba'ath Party?
No. But because they were so organized that we had lost most of the documents.
So they didn't know who was a member of the party or not?
Only those distinguished and well-known. And other way, I don't feel that in my position now. I know that man. He was one day a Ba'ath Party. But now in my position, I can't. If I tell him, are you a Ba'ath Party? I have a paperwork. And if he say no, and he sign on it. And this is what the Americans, they do for most of those people who elected recently or had joined the council recently. They just bring a paper, just sign that you are never a Ba'ath Party. That's so easy. Anyone can sign it.
But you're not very happy with the way this de-Ba'athification process was done.
Yeah, I agree with you.
What went wrong with that?
I mean, let's ask this question. Whose job it is? Who's the authorized to do it? I agree totally that they did a lot of harm to the people and to the country for more than three decades. But who should charge them? Who would charge them? Charge them? Who will accuse them? Who will have the authority to punish them? Shall I release it to all the people with all these great sand stains? Shall I let the country float in a sea of blood? It is not the way.
Is this what has happened, that some people, either Ba'ath Party members or suspected Ba'ath Party members, have actually been shot or punished by the people themselves?
Yes. Yes, this has happened. We hear it many times. We see it. And if you wander here and there on the streets, you will see many of these black signs. A tab of the names of people, and then you read in the front of his name that he was missed in an accident. In a sorry accident, something like that. What does it mean? It means that he was shot. And then, if you ask what's behind it, they say, okay, it was a Ba'ath Party. Okay. Was it in a court? Was it an authorized judge? Or the CPA themselves? Or the government council? No, the people did it. So I believe it is not the way. It need reconstitution of the skeleton of the government. It need a law, it need a judge, and they I believe that they must be charged for all what they did. I believe, whether not only for those inside Iraq or even for those outside, but not in this way.
In your own new career as a politician, you have a number of different jobs. You're on the Yarmouk Neighborhood Council, you're on the Al-Mansour District Council, and you're also on the Baghdad City Council.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time in politics every week, I imagine.
Well, it need just a bit more than 7 days a week. Okay.
You spend a lot of time in meetings?
Yes. Always I know when to start, but I don't know when to end. And not less than six a week, in addition to having my my own job as a surgeon, as a DG in Medical City. In addition to that, I have my own clinic, which sometimes I can't attend, and I let my patient just look after me here and there.
The reason I'm asking you about your work as a politician now is that I want to know if it's working. I mean, you have this history in this country of the one leader and the one party, and now something brand new.
I believe that this is the only way now available. I believe that we should, with the help of the CPA, we should make a lot of change. I agree that's not as we imagine, it's a bit slow, but I believe that this is the way. We should make a lot of contact, dialogue, negotiations, discuss, ask for their help in hot topics, guide them to what is better for us and the best for the country.
But as I mentioned earlier in the program, there are now so many competing interests trying to get their own political agenda. Does that make it difficult in the city council meeting, for example?
In a way or another, yeah, it might be. Most of these parties have just appeared after the war. And I believe that they should work more than us to prove themselves. I believe, as you say, they are all hungry for this chance to get it. But the perfect way is not to be, as we say in medicine, not to be opportunistic. The perfect way is to prove yourself and to show the people how fruitful you are for them.
But is it making it difficult in the meetings
yes,
that you attend?
Yes, yes, sometimes. Because we face, let's say, I can call it less, small ideas or ideas that belong to sects or to groups, and we might accept it if we think at the end that's beneficial for the country, for the sake of all. This is what we work for.
But it's very hard to know at the meeting who is lobbying for which direction. I want to stop you for just a minute. We're taking a short break. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Your opportunity to connect live with Baghdad, an opportunity to talk a little bit about the very beginnings of politics and all the problems that people are facing. My name's Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection live from Baghdad. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection live from Baghdad. Shortly after the Americans moved into this city, Sami Al-Mudaffar was appointed president of Baghdad University. When the Americans decreed that no ranking members of the Ba'ath Party would be allowed to keep their jobs, several hundred of his professors had to leave. Then and now, Al-Mudaffar says it was a stupid decision.
Yeah, it's a mistake. It should be done differently. It should be, you know, some sort of investigations first to know the mistakes of everyone. Then you have to decide. That's the proper way to do it. It is a mistake, really. You have to have proof. Not all the 300 are bad people. Yeah, some. are very, very bad, really.
Just 6 weeks ago, Al-Mudaffar was fired as president of Baghdad University. He says he was never a member of the Ba'ath Party himself, but he was simply elbowed aside by others competing for political power in this vacuum.
It's very bad, really, because they have the democracy we have participated and at the start was killed.
Who killed it?
So many people.
But these are people who want what? They want to return to the way things used
right.
to be?
Right.
These are old Ba'ath Party loyalists. These are people who were supporters of Saddam. How do we describe those people?
You see, you are a man who work in politics. You know, politics is a big lie. This is it.
A dirty business?
A dirty business. So, I mean, you do this, and when you change the administration in USA, you always change all the staff, right? We do it now, but we do. They have done it in a very poor way, so they have not done the change in a proper way.
Are you angry about not being president anymore?
They shouldn't treat me this way. That's the way I think of it.
Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. For you to connect live with The Connection, broadcasting from Baghdad, this hour a conversation about whether or not the United States is actually helping Iraq make a transition to genuine democracy, or whether or not it's impossible to do such a thing while the city is, as in the words of so many people here, under siege in a state of occupation. With me in the studio, Dr. Saeb Al-Ghalani. He is a Baghdad City Council member, Director General of the City of Medicine Hospital here in Baghdad. There is, Doctor, so much bitterness among people who feel that they have been left out of the system, people who feel that their own interests aren't going to be looked after. I wonder if you sit in all those meetings that you attend and think, my goodness, maybe this isn't going to work.
Well, in this way, it will work, but it needs a long time and needs a lot of efforts. And we and the American, both we will bleed till we establish it.
How long is that going to last?
So that I might agree with Dr. Mudaffar a term that it might be done in a better way. I mean, let's see what's happened now. I don't feel that this is the real democracy. I feel that this is what we call democracy abuse.
Abused by who? By people in this country? By the Americans in the way that they're managing affairs?
Mainly by our people. If you find yourself all of a sudden, without any laws, without any regulations, without any borders, without any restrictions, you don't guarantee that all the people will behave in the same way. Depend on their grades, their education, their levels, their what, so.
It's a funny moment, though. When you talk about it in those words, I think of a country, a place, I'll use the word, without borders, without laws, without rules. In many ways, it's not a country.
Just like that. Like that most of the time, but I must say that's improving, but this is slowly improving. It is improving, but it's slowly improving. It needs time. I feel that me and others, we should stay to help to correct things back.
Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. We are broadcasting live from Baghdad. Just a note, too, that if you want to go to our website, we're at www.theconnection.org. You can see images from our show today, a picture of Dr. Ghalani. Let's go to our phones. Standing by in Boston, Rob's on the line. Hi, Rob. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you. It's very nice to hear these subjects discussed with a certain amount of intelligence and reflection, as opposed to the knee-jerks that you hear in even good papers here. My comment mainly would address the feeling of national humiliation, and is this being properly addressed by the authorities? I would think that there's three approaches that could be taken that might help. One is to actually look at Iraqi culture and look for common connections that are common to all cultures. The other is to think about what happened in previous cases. I've talked to French people who are still, to this day, aware of effects on the French psyche due to the ease with which Germany conquered France in the early 40s and their need to be rescued. But when that was done, it was done with a coalition which included French people. That's how de Gaulle became such a big figure in French politics. And we could also utilize the fact that in American history, the South was humiliated at the close of the Civil War, and that affected American politics to this day. I think an awareness of this basic human feeling needs to be taken into account and addressed. Thank you.
Rob, I want you to stay on the line, if you would, because I'd like Dr. Galani to speak about this idea of humiliation. It strikes me as an interesting observation, because for so many years leading up to this moment, Saddam Hussein and the Ba'ath Party were always telling Iraqis it was a strong country, it was an invincible country, and then so much has changed. Is humiliation a good word to use?
Well, the way another might be used here. I believe that was a big lie. We were not strong enough as we were, we should believe. I agree, yes, we had a good human resources, and many of our people had graduated from distinguished universities here and the world, and working in military factories and so on and so. But we haven't reached that level as it was thought, that one day we believe that we are the military army number 4 or number 5, something like that, mm-hmm. or we have very advanced weapons and missiles and something like that. I believe that was a big lie.
But when Rob asks you if there needs to be a greater sensitivity to what Iraqis are feeling now, whether it's humiliation or whether or not it's a sense of shame that the country went from one state to another so quickly, what would you say to Rob?
I mean, we were not believing that will happen like this way. Let us speak frankly. I believe that it might be much worse. You might not accept this world. We were thinking that it might be much, much bloody than it would happen. For a capital, big capital, with 5 million citizens to drop within 2 days, and then the lives of many have been saved. That we haven't believed it. We were thinking that might be much more bloody. This was a big chance for us.
So more, rather than humiliation, more a sense of relief.
Sense of relief, yes, I agree with it. The humiliation, this is a problem, came later on.
Rob, back to you. You're listening in.
The only other thing I could think of to add, and I thought, is it Ghanali?
Galami.
I thought his answer was quite, it taught me something. But I would also think bringing in other countries to help in the administration would kind of spread out the beholdenness so that the Iraqis don't feel that they are occupied by America so much as helped by the world.
Yeah, I myself was in a delegation just 2 weeks ago in Japan. And in Egypt, and we were looking after their help to reestablish a health system, rehabilitate the hospitals and new constructions. This is a good step. We feel that we are free, we are able to connect.
But would it be a lot easier for people across this country to accept if there were many more nations involved in the reconstruction, rather than the United States and Britain and then the other countries?
Might be, yeah.
I wanted to ask you a question about imagining politics in the future, at some time when the Americans are no longer here? Because we look at the numbers and we see that over 60% of the population is Shiite, and there are the Kurds who have long been calling for their own independence in the north. And whether or not you see, even at the city council level, this kind of building competition for who's actually going to be supreme in the long run.
Yeah. All what we happen, all what you say is right, but all are living with some sort of equilibrium, and all are running parallel together. Till now, there is no such, let's say, disorganization in this sense. The people, they doesn't accept this idea of a supreme or Superman, something like that. They don't accept it. They had lived hard days and faced three big wars and bled a lot. And they believe that all what they look after is just the freedom and to live happily in an ordered manner.
So you think that the appetite for more fighting is not there? People are ready for some kind of equilibrium, was the word that you used.
Yeah. And just in terms of political and parties are looking for this defect created by that the disappearance of the old mission, so that everyone is hunger now who want to fill this defect. But I can tell you that most of the people from all sects, they are not with these ideas. Their dreams is just to live happily, freely, in a satisfied manner. They don't care. I myself, I don't care who will be the number one here, as far as I just be sure that he's a man working for the country, for the sake of the people.
We're going to go back to our telephone lines. A reminder, we are broadcasting live from Baghdad. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Dr. Saib Al-Ghalani is with me in the studio. He's a city council member here in Baghdad and running the largest hospital, not only in this country, but in the Middle East, next to Norfolk, Virginia. And Casey is with us. Hi, Casey. Go ahead.
Hi, sir. How are you doing today? My question for the doctor is, what are the aspiring political leaders in Iraq doing to promote the well-being of their own people, of the Iraqi people, as well as are they helping the U.S. Occupation there with the suicide attacks? Or are they doing anything to denounce those and to help secure their country?
Well, it's a difficult question. I mean, apart from the, let's say, the two well-established Kurdish party in the north, which had, where they had reached, let's say, a state of settlement and much stable condition in the three northern governorates, apart from these, all other parties still, I think, in the period of competition, in the period of trying to promote their to establish what they believe in it, but in the real field, very minimal efforts are there. Still, the cornerstone is the CPA, the Coalition Force Authority, and the Government Council, the newly appointed ministers and the elected public councils. They are doing the best. They try to retain the infrastructure back to its proper way, but not the politics, not the politic people.
Let me be a little bit more blunt in putting it. Would it be fair to say that a lot of these very young, very new parties are busy looking after their own interests, trying to promote themselves, and not necessarily thinking about what it is they would do for the people. They're busy trying to develop their names and their profiles and their leaders.
I think it's a natural behavior.
It must be a nightmare for you, though, on city council, to have these people from all the different interests, you know, using it as a political platform rather than concentrating on what's best for Baghdad.
Yeah. You know, there's one thing behind depathification, what they call it, is that you have a lot of vacancy and you should fill it.
And are people stepping forward to fill them?
Yeah. It's competition.
Time for a quick question from Cape Ann, Massachusetts. John's on the line. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking the question. What I'm interested in is how the new institutions gain legitimacy in the eyes of the Iraqi people. I know we read about splits within the Shiite communities, tribal loyalties, and what I'm really concerned about is, are the new institutions that are tied to the American occupation, I'll say, or the provisional authority, by themselves viewed almost as illegitimate or denounced in the eyes of the people? And how do they gain legitimacy?
Let me take it from there, John, and ask the doctor to answer.
Well, in the early days, most of the people, they were happy with it, that they had for once in the three decades, that means more than about two generations, have the sense of freedom. And now, with the demands of life, with the hard days, no power, no refined water, sewage are damaged and bricked, and a lot of unemployed, I think people start to complain.
We're going to stop just there, pick that up when we come back after our break. You are listening to The Connection, broadcasting live for Baghdad. We invite you to join us. Our number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. And your chance to talk directly with Baghdad about the politics growing in this capital city and in this country. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection, live from Baghdad. You're listening to The Connection, broadcasting this hour live from Baghdad. My name is Dick Gordon. Dr. Saeb Al-Ghilani is with me in the studio. He is a city council member for the capital city of Baghdad, director general of the City of Medicine Hospital, and spending about as much time these days in the very early hours of this country's political system as anybody else. I want to go back, if I can, doctor, just to sort of finish off the point we're talking about with John. There have been no formal elections. Some of the council members were chosen from within their neighborhoods and chosen from within their district. Am I right about this?
Few, not all.
But most of the people were appointed to their jobs.
And regarding the councils, the city council, the district councils, the neighbor councils, most of them came after an election.
But not a proper election with ballot papers and...
Yeah. Because what do you think? An election just in the early days after the lie,
of
after
course.
The war. For example, my city, is there were about, let's say, 5,000 families. Those who attend the election, around 1,000 people. But they were all willing to share and willing to vote for it, and then an election next higher stage for the district council from the members who were whether elected, whether appointed, and then from the district councils an election for the city council.
But there are many politicians on the governing council working with the CPA who are appointed and appointed by the Americans, can be removed by the Americans. What John's wondering is, do the Iraqi people trust those politicians? Do they see them as working for Iraq, or do they see them as puppets of the United States?
Well, they don't care about trust. They care about what they're going to do. They are giving them the time to see what they're going to do. their efforts? Is it fruitful for the people?
Are the telephones being restored?
Telephone, power, water, sewage, everything, jobs. Is the things will be better or not?
But you were saying just before the break that things were getting a little bit troublesome. The people were starting to get a little bit anxious.
Yeah. You see, they gained the freedom very rapidly. They were not thinking that it would be that rapid. And then what's next? Then came the period of looting and damage and burning, and a lot of bad things happened, as you see in the media. Mm-hmm. So they were not believing. They were totally astonished. All these looters, they are less than 1% of the people, less even. But they see what happened. We believe that there was some sort of organized behavior and promotion behind it. So it was a tragedy, and a lot of frustration happened to the people.
Let me stop you there. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. Aleda's joining us now from Somerville, Massachusetts. Hi there. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Yes, I just wanted to make a comment because I am very troubled by the things that I read here, like in the New York Times. My impression is that we talk about bringing democracy to Iraq, but I do not see that really happening. I mean, we have Bremer, who's sitting on top, makes all the decisions. He appoints the governing council. I hear that in some cities they have tried to elect their mayors, but we have removed them. I understand that the president of Baghdad University was actually chosen by the students, the staff, and we removed him and replaced him by somebody appointed by Bremer. I read that we are hiring or rehiring the Mukhabarat, the Secret Service. I read that in some ministry, all the Baathists have been kept in their positions. So when we say that we are debathification, it only seems to apply to wherever is convenient to us. It doesn't look good to me. And I'm very troubled by that. If all of this is happening, truly, I would like to apologize to Mr. Al-Ghalami and the rest of the Iraqis for what we're doing. Okay, thank you. I'm a little bit nervous. I'll go offline.
Thank you for calling, Ali.
Thank you. Thank you for this. Never mind about it, but let's look for the future, how we can work together to improve the things. Never mind about mistakes. Yes, we agree it might happen here and there, even in the States, everywhere. But let's look how to improve it. I think without a joint work, without a plan, things can't go well. So that we insist always, I myself, although I'm a doctor, I had submitted a long paper on security issue to the government, to the CPA. I believe that this is the first step we should be returned back to the country, is the security. The people, they don't care about who is the head of the university, as far as he is a qualified man. But they care whether they can attend the university or not. They care whether they can stay a bit late. They can shop at any time they like.
Well, are you saying to Aleda if she reads reports that America is making a mess of this country, that's not true?
Well, America also is working to help the people here. Yes, a lot of mistakes might happen. But especially immediately releasing the army and the security people, and all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of people find themselves unemployed. This will drop down the security more and more.
So talk about today. How are things today?
The things, they are planning to return back the security by creation of the they call it IP and MP and ICDC, that's civil
Iraqi
defense.
Iraqi police, military police,
yes,
civil defense, yeah.
But in a slow process. We feel that should be, but we always talk with them that should be more rapid, and they should be promoted and supported well. And we are talking about the borders, which should be kept secure, and we talk with them about pressure on the surrounding countries to stop these smuggling and a lot of bad things that can happen through the borders. Yes, they are helping the people. Bad things had happened. Do you agree about that? But also we should say that good things are in the way, but in a way or another, a lot of frustration had happened.
1-800-423-8255 for you to join this broadcast live from Baghdad. John's on the line, calling in from Waynesboro, Georgia. Hi, John, go ahead.
Hello. Yes, my question for that would be, Yugoslavia was a country with very antagonistic ethnic groups held together by a strong central power under Tito for years. In the absence of Tito, the country divided up into several small countries. And in the absence of, say, a premature withdrawal of U.S. forces, say if the president next elected says 6 months we're leaving no matter what, would Yugoslavia divide off into a Kurdistan, to a Shiite area, to a Sunni area? What would you see have happened if we were just to leave in 6 months?
I hope it will not be. We are looking now for one Iraq. And all the sects, all the groups are presented in all the councils, the government councils, with the advisory councils. And we are all looking and hoping that will not happen. What's the difference here, although there are different sects, but all really relates back in terms of families. I don't want to call it. All are related to big families. And these families compose of all the colors, Sunni, the Shia, the Arab, the Kurdish, the Turk, all backed by few original big families behind it. And there is a lot of connections between all, really. Because this issue was not that just, let's say, 40 years ago or 30 years ago. We were not thinking in this way, never. But the old mission had strongly insisted on it and created.
Should we give some credit to Saddam Hussein for his idea of a unified Iraq? Has he left that behind him?
When he came, it was unified Iraq.
So he doesn't get the credit for this. It's not Saddam Hussein who did this.
He created these subdivisions and these, let's say, by his loneliness, he created. But he received it on Iraq.
Let me ask you, though, if you believe there is a risk, again, from what John was saying, that if one powerful Kurdish leader, or Shiite leader, or Sunni leader stood up at the city council meeting one day and said, "That's it. I'm better off on my own. My people are better off with me. We're not going to work with you anymore." Could it all fall apart? Could it all come undone?
The people will not accept it. People will not accept it.
Why?
I mean, we are not that big country. We are a small country.
25 million people, it's a lot.
Yes,
of
it is just like one governorate of the states. Not big. We are less, smaller than California, I think. And there's a lot of connections in between. And you see, from Baghdad to Basra, the south, there are about 5 or 6 governorates in the way. Just 50 to 60 kilometers in between, maximum. Cannot be splitted easily. And there is a lot of mixing between the people, even in the north. Even the Kurdish people, there are Sunni, there are Shia. Within the Kurdish people, within the Turkish origin people, there is also the same. A lot of mixing, a lot of connections. It's not easy to split it. And I think it's also, I think the states also, they don't look after the splitting. Otherwise it will create a lot of damage, not to the Iraq, for the area.
You will know, as many of our listeners will, that 2 days ago, the council leader in Sadr City, Mohammed Kabi, was killed in a dispute with American guards. No one's really sure what happened. We also know that men like you, who have chosen to be a part of this transition time, have been attacked. Judges, mayors, politicians.
Yeah.
Do you think about this?
Yeah. We believe that we are in a risk position, and we might be threatened at any time. But I think we should do this job for the sake of the people. Whatever transition it is, whatever short period it is, someone should pay for the sake of others.
So tell me what happens when you finally get to go home in the evening. Do you go home and see people who are coming to you saying, Doctor, our neighborhood needs this, our district needs this? Are people coming to you and looking for?
Yeah, this is the usual. This is the usual. And meeting continue.
So it's not going home and closing the steel gate on the driveway and saying, oh, whew, I made it through another day?
Not easy. Because you should receive the complaint from all. And not because I'm a member, I'm a doctor also, don't forget that. I should treat, not only treat the patient, I should treat my country also.
I thank you so much for coming in to do our program today.
Thank you. I wish you the best.
The best to you. Dr. Saeb Al-Ghailani, Baghdad City Council member, Director General of the City of Medicine Hospital. Thanks today to the entire Connection staff, engineers, my producer Mark Allard, my translator Ahmed Fadam. You're listening to The Connection, broadcasting live from Baghdad.